We're going to turn to look at God's word now. So if you've got a Bible on the pew or on your phone, do feel free to open up to Ephesians chapter 6. We're looking at the last section, last little bit of the section on the armour of God, starting from verse 18. And we're going to read to the end of the letter. So let me pray, and then we'll read. God, we know, and we heard last week, that this book is the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword that knocks back the schemes of the devil. It's the sword that advances the kingdom. It's the sword that brings hope and words of life. Lord, please, as we look at your word, would you change us? Would you transform us? Would you bring life? Would you help us to be people of prayer who lean on you at all times? In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read God's word. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. Well, as you can see, we're at the end of our series in the book of Ephesians. And as a little recap, the book of Ephesians splits into two parts. Part one is all about God reconciling us to himself and reconciling us to others as part of his family, saving us by his grace, forgiving our sins, calling us to be part of his people. And part two is all about how we live as reconciled people, how the grace of God shown to us in Jesus Christ changes and transforms us. And what we get at the end here is a call to pray, a call to be people of prayer. And I think this passage tells us when to pray. It tells us how to pray, and it tells us what to pray. So firstly, it tells us when to pray. A few years ago, I booked onto a canoeing holiday. I think many people are thinking right now, that does not sound like a holiday. But my father-in-law took me, and I wanted to impress him. So I went. So I booked on. The funny thing is I didn't end up actually going because I got injured in the training for this holiday. The reason I got injured was because, not because the training was particularly hard, not because I was going at it in any crazy way. It wasn't a hard course that I was going to go on, canoeing. It wasn't a particularly fast pace we had to travel. But the training and the canoeing involved constant paddling, paddling, paddling. So my training was just doing this for hours and hours and hours. And that's the same with the canoeing. I had to be able to go constant, constant, paddle, paddle, paddle. And the key to a successful canoeing trip was to not stop paddling. To keep just, again, paddle, paddle, push, push. Not, doesn't matter how fast, but just to keep going. Because the aim was to get from A to B, to get from the beginning to the end, to finish the journey, to stay on course. And the way to stay on course was to keep paddling. If you stopped paddling, even for a moment, you could be thrown off course, you could be thrown into danger, you could capsize. So the aim of it was to paddle, paddle, paddle. And today, Paul calls the reader to pray, 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 to keep praying, to not stop praying, to be relentless in prayer, praying at all times, to keep going, to keep praying, to not stop. Because if we don't, we're not going to stand firm. We're not going to keep going. This passage, as I've already said, is at the end of a section on spiritual warfare, and it reminds us that we are in a battle. We are in a battle, which is why Paul says, keep alert with all perseverance. He's saying, don't forget you're in a battle. Don't think that this is easy. Keep going, stay alert, pray with perseverance, because Satan is constantly pinging fiery darts at God's people again and again and again. They're going to keep coming and they're going to keep coming. Satan's not going to take a break. He's not going to clock off. He's not going to go away for a bit and just get bored. He's going to keep going, keep going, keep going. And so we need to pray, pray, pray. If we're to stand, if we're to stand firm, we need to pray. The call of this little section in Ephesians is to be strong in the Lord. And when we pray, we tap into the Lord's strength. If we want to be strong in the Lord, we need to ask him for his strength. The other call of this section of Ephesians is to put on the whole armor of God. And prayer takes on the importance in this passage because prayer is what empowers the armor of God. You can put on the belt of truth. You can read God's word. But if it's not done in the context of a prayerful relationship with God, how easily can that truth become dry and not impact your life? You can put on the breastplate of righteousness and try and live for God. But if it's not done walking with God in a relationship, how easily can those righteous acts become just pious, religious, good deeds? You can take the gospel of peace to people, but if it's not done with prayer, it won't go out in power. Prayer is what empowers the Christian life. Prayer is what keeps us standing firm. We need to pray, pray, pray at all times. What a challenge. What a big challenge to be people that are praying to God, leaning on him, depending on him. My life doesn't look like that a lot of the time. It's a challenge. But it's also an invitation to pray at all times. We can pray at all times, so that means we don't have to sort ourselves out before we come to God in prayer. We don't have to have a special spiritual place. We don't have to have the right words. We don't need to go through a special person. We can come to God anywhere, anytime, to pour out our hearts to him, to talk to our Father. And we can do that because we pray in the Spirit. That's what Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who grants us access to God. Ephesians 2:20, through him and by one Spirit we have access to our God. Praying in the Spirit means we sit at our Father's feet. We come into his presence and enjoy being with him. The Spirit is also the Spirit of wisdom. So there'll be plenty of times when we're praying and we don't have the answers. And sometimes God doesn't give us the answers to exactly what's going on and why things are happening. But he's the Spirit of wisdom who leads us to the one who is the wisdom of God, Jesus Christ. So praying in the Spirit allows us to trust that even when we don't have the answers, we're praying to the one who does have all the answers. The Spirit is our hope. He guarantees our inheritance. So those who are praying can pray in the Spirit and pray in hope at all times. And the Spirit gives us power and strength to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Jesus. What an invitation to come and pray in the Spirit, to come and spend time with your Father, to come and have an intimate relationship with the God of the universe. Pray at all times. What an invitation. And when we don't know what to pray, when we go through those moments when we just don't know, when we just can't go on, the Spirit intercedes for us, Romans 8 says. He prays for us with groanings that are too deep for words. What an invitation. Pray at all times. Come to God. Know an intimate relationship with him. You can sum it up in the hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I'm going to keep reading it because it's so good. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. We should never not go to God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness, so take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Yes, I am. Cumbered with a load of care? Yes, I am. What do we do, precious Savior? He is our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take that to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take you and shield you. Thou will find a solace there. Why would we look anywhere else? Aren't we so quick to go to YouTube or Netflix or a bank balance or drink for our comfort when it's so fleeting and it's so shallow? What an offer we have to pray at all times to our Father. That's when to pray. How to pray is the next thing this passage tells us. Three little instructions it gives us. First thing's on the face of it, a bit confusing. Paul says, pray with all prayer. I was like, Paul, what's going on here? Sounds a bit obvious. Pray with all prayer. What does that mean? I think it's pointing out the fact that it's easy to pray without praying. Isn't it easy to say a prayer, to do the act of prayer, but to just be ticking the box or to be sat in church reading the confession? We're praying, but actually we're not praying. Maybe you've said the Lord's Prayer at school. You're going, Our Father in heaven. Or you've said grace at school. You're going, for what we're about to receive, may the Lord make sure. And you just kind of reeled it off. It's automatic. Paul says, when you pray, pray. Move away from prayerless prayer. Take hold of those promises of an intimate relationship with your Father. There's a guy called George Muller from a long time ago now who used to run an orphanage, and he depended for everything for that orphanage to run on prayer. He wouldn't ask for anything. He was a prayer warrior. And how long would he pray for? He would pray until he felt the tangible, real, life-giving, sweet presence of God. It wasn't just an act that he had to do. It wasn't just a fit chore at the end of the day. It wasn't just a religious duty. He prayed because he knew he would encounter God. That's what it means to pray with all prayer. Secondly, we're called to pray with supplication. We need to pray trusting that God would supply everything we need. He would supply the things we don't need. And we can pray that knowing God is far more willing to give than we are to ask. One of my favorite songs says, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed and the day is half done. Anyone know that feeling? Pretty much every day for me. When we reach the end of our earthly resources, our Father's full giving is only just begun. So we can pray with supplication. And lastly, pray with perseverance. I've already said it. Keep praying. Keep going. How many times have I started a prayer plan or a new prayer diary? It's gone well, but then it fizzles out a bit. Anyone know that feeling? Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. An example of this, I think the best way to encourage us in this is to tell an example of a lady called Susanna Wesley. Now, Susanna Wesley had 19 children. That's right. So she knew what it was to be busy. She knew what it was to be drained. She knew what it was to be burdened and tired. She knew what it was to experience loss as a mother and brokenheartedness. What kept her going? You can read about this if you've got the Everyone a Child Should Know book. That's a good little plug from 10 of those. She began the day with prayer. She prayed with her children, and she ended the day with prayer. And as the story goes, every hour, no matter what was going on, she'd pop a towel on her head or a tea towel or something, and everyone would know she's praying to her Father. So even though the chaos was ensuing around her, tea towel on head, God, I need you to keep going. It's not a story of some great person who did something great in the eyes of the world. It's a story of someone faithfully persevering in prayer. And the fruits of that prayer life was one of her children was John Wesley, one of the great preachers of church history. And Charles Wesley, another one of her sons, was one of the great hymn writers, wrote the hymn, And Can It Be? Let's persevere in prayer. And lastly, we're told what to pray for. Paul tells us, let me read the verses again. Pray at all times with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. What are we to pray for? We're to pray for the people of God, the saints, and we're to pray for the message of God. We're to pray for the people of God. We need to remember that we're all in a battle. We need to remember that the Christian life is not easy. We need to remember that we're called to stand firm in the midst of Satan's fiery darts, Satan's deceiving and seeking to destroy us. There's no room for complacency in the Christian life. We need to be praying that God would hold fast those who are grieving. We need to pray that God would comfort those who are despairing. We need to pray that he would bring hope to the hopeless. We need to pray that the church would grow, that he would bear fruit. We need to pray for our mission partners. We need to pray that the gospel would bear fruit. We need to pray that God's people would grow in steadfastness and godliness. A missionary called William Carey was a great missionary to India. He described his missionary work as like gold mining. He said, while I'm in the mission field, I'm down there mining for gold. And it's hard and long, but I can take confidence that I've got people praying for me back home. And they're the ones holding the ropes. They're the ones keeping me anchored. They're the ones empowering my ministry. And I think we can translate that to other situations. When we know of a Christian, a believer in a certain situation, we have a call in our lives to be the people anchoring them in prayer, the people praying for them, the people who are holding those ropes as they're in the dark pit of suffering, the dark in whatever situation, in a stressful situation, in pain, in doing all sorts of ministry. Church, will we be that anchor for Alex and Rhea? Will you take up that responsibility to be the people holding the ropes? Will you be the anchor for our overseas partners? Will you take that responsibility? Will you listen to God's word and hear that call? Will we be people of prayer? Will we pray for God's people as we're commanded to do in his word? I say this to myself as much as all of us. Will we take up that responsibility? It's not that practical stuff is super helpful in prayer, is this kind of extra thing you do when you can't help practicing. No, prayer. Pray for the saints. Hold the ropes. Be that anchor. Pray for God's people. And lastly, we need to pray for not only the people of Jesus, but pray for the message of Jesus. What is the message of Jesus? Well, it's an old story of the Son of God. The Son of God, the eternal creator of the world, who had everything, who had all the riches, who through whom everything was created. He had a perfect, loving relationship with his Father, who emptied himself and became a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He entered into this world, lived a life of suffering and trial and persecution and rejection, and he went all the way to the cross. And the night before he died, he prayed. He said, Father, take this cup of suffering from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. There's that old hymn, isn't there? For me it was in the garden, he prayed, not my will, but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but he sweat drops of blood for mine. And because of that, I can now sing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song will ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In the moment of greatest suffering, in the moment of greatest pain, Jesus brought the greatest salvation. He hung on the cross as a criminal and in doing so paid for my crimes. He was broken and so paid for the brokenness of my life. He was punished so I could be forgiven. He went into death to defeat death. He rose from the grave, showing that he had conquered death once and for all, showing that he had conquered Satan. No matter what we go through, we have this hope. We have this message. We can always know God loves us. We can always know he's there for us. We can always know he will never leave us or forsake us because he gave his son. He gave his son who gave up everything, who entered into our world, who enters into our sufferings and our trials. How does that relate now to what Paul's saying? Well, if you're trusting in Jesus, this is your hope. This is what has happened in your life. This is what God has done for you. And there's a call on our lives to be people that reflect this message, that people that share this hope, people that in all situations are looking to bring glory and honor. Because that's what Paul prays. He uses this phrase, ambassador in chains. He's saying, I'm a representative of God whilst I'm in prison. Paul's not a glib person. He knows what it was to suffer and to suffer hard. He knows what it was to be abandoned and persecuted and to be beaten and tortured and to be thrown into prison. He knew what it was to question, God, why are you doing this? He knew what it was to pray, God, take this thorn in my flesh away from me. Yeah, he doesn't pray, God, get me out of prison. He doesn't say, pray for me that God would change what's going on. He prays that in the midst of this hard time, that God's name would be proclaimed and that he would be glorified. He has an expectation that God will do that because he knows the Savior that brought victory through suffering. He knows the Savior that defeated death by going into death. That's bonkers, isn't it? That's actually, by the world's standards, completely crazy. Why would anyone want to pray that? It only happens when the supernatural intervention of God comes. It only happens when you know the Savior who gave up everything for you. It only happens when you know the Savior who entered into your suffering and who walks with you all the way. It only happens when you say, to this I hold, my only hope is Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. Because I know when the race is complete, I'll be with him in glory, saying, yet not I, but through Christ in me. I say this to me, I say this to everyone. Would we be bold enough to pray this prayer? Would we trust Jesus enough to pray this prayer? That in my desperate situation, God would be glorified. That God would use me to speak his word. That God would use me to bring glory to his name. We have an example of this with Alex and Rhea right now. In the midst of their despair and their grief, they can testify still to God's mercy and grace. We have midwives going away saying how beautiful their faith is. We have an anaesthetist saying, humming along to the worship music. We have a living example of people doing that right now, and it's such an encouragement. It's such a beautiful testimony to the gospel. It's supernatural. It doesn't happen unless God is there with them. And it's a witness to the world of how beautiful the gospel is. Would we be that as a church? Would we pray that we would be a church like that? Would we pray for them that they would continue in, even in the midst of this desperate situation? And would we in our situations, whatever it is, we're all facing trials and sufferings, would we pray that God would glorify his name and help us to share the message of the gospel? The promise for the one who prays this prayer is these words from this old hymn. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God and will help you always. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. That soul that in Jesus does lean for repose, I will not desert his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Let me pray. Jesus, teach us to pray. Father, teach us to depend on you. Father, thank you for the privilege, the invitation to pray to you at all times. And God, there is so much in this life which hurts and is difficult and feels just too much. And Father, we pray in the midst of it that you give us the strength to say, yeah, not I, but through Christ in me. You give us the strength to seek your glory and honor, to be like Paul, an ambassador in chains, to seek your glory before ours, because that's what Jesus did. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Help us to look to Jesus in all situations, to pray to you in all situations, to lean on you, depend on you, and to bring glory to your name. We pray. We don't have the strength to do that. If it was up to me, I'd fail straight away. But God, your grace is enough to keep us going. Transform us and change us into people of prayer, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing now one final song that says, I will trust in you alone. We can trust in God in the good times. We can trust in him in the darkest of times. So it's the words of Psalm 23 put into song. Let's place now our trust in Jesus and lean on him. Shall we stand and sing together?